I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 119. I'm going to read verses 65 through 72 of Psalm 119 this morning. We're going to focus just on one verse this morning, verse 71. I was surprised, as you probably are, that we aren't opening our Bibles to Romans again this morning. However, it became clear to me as the week unfolded that we should take a brief break from Romans for the next 3 weeks and then come back to it at the end of the month. Don't worry, I still plan to finish Romans for those of you who have been tracking along with Romans and you want to get to the end. However, I promise not to be one of those pastors who go into Romans and never come out, and I'm still doing my best to lead you through, but for now we'll take a short break. This week, Psalm 119, verse 71. Next week, we'll get the report from our Pittsburgh ministry team up here. We'll hear about some of what God did through them this week. Pray for us as we go, because I think it's obvious somebody doesn't want us to go. And then the 19th will be our Family Bible Week finale, and I've got a special message to go with our theme for this year. It'll be out of space. Today, Psalm 119, verse 71. Do you know much about the 119th Psalm? Is that one that you've studied before? The 119th Psalm is the longest psalm in your Bible. If you go by chapters, it's the longest chapter in your Bible. It's 176 verses. I'm not going to read them all to you today. Maybe some Sunday we will. Psalm 119 is elaborately and carefully written to celebrate the psalmist's relationship with God through his Word. If you have the NIV, you'll see that there are 22 sections to this psalm. One for every letter in the Hebrew alphabet. When I was a student at seminary, we had to learn Hebrew. And one of the first things we did was to learn the alphabet. And I learned it to the tune of Yankee Doodle, right? So, Aleph, Beit, and Gimel, Dalet, Hey, and Wow, and Zion, Chet, and Tet, and Yod, and Kof, Lamanet, Nun, Sarakai, and Pei, and Sade, Kof, and Re, Sin, and Sheen, and Tau. You have to trust me that that's right, right? So that's the Hebrew alphabet, and those are those words you see at the section headings in your NIV. Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, okay? So this is amazing what the psalmist has done to construct this psalm. You know, and we don't see a lot of what he did, his literary artistry, in creating this psalm. What he did was he took each of those letters, and for most of the stanzas, the first letter of each verse, and there's eight verses, which is like perfection plus one, it's beyond perfection. There's eight verses for each stanza, and every one of those verses begins with a word that begins with the letter that's of that stanza. So, you know, if this was poetry, if we did it in English, the first stanza would be every sentence would begin with an A. And then every sentence of the second stanza would begin with a B. Okay? We miss a lot of that because we have to translate it into English and we don't see it there. But the psalmist has been incredibly, painstakingly careful in creating this literary work of art. Now, verse 71 is in a section of the psalm, the Tate section. It says T-E-T-H there in your Bible, right above verse 65. Do you see it? Verses 65 through 72. And this does not start with a different word of each verse, starting with the Hebrew Tate on the front. There's no, all of the verses don't start with a T, okay? But instead, five of the verses begin with the same Hebrew word, tov. What does the word tov mean? Does anybody know? Have you ever heard mazel tov? Right? What is tov? It's the Hebrew word for good. Good. So five of the eight verses start with the word tov, good. Okay? And in fact, six times in these eight verses, the word tov appears, and I don't think that that's a coincidence. Okay, this paragraph, this stanza in this amazing poem about the Word of God is about something good. Good. And what we find out is good might be a little surprising to us. especially when we get to verse 71. I quoted verse 71 badly from memory last Sunday as I was preaching the message, and it's been on my mind all this week. So I thought we might study it more closely this morning together. So let's read this Tait stanza, verses 65 through 72, and then we're going to drill down just on one verse, verse 71. I'll try to emphasize the word good as I read it. You ready? Do good to your servant according to your word, O Lord. Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I believe in your commands. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Though the arrogant have smeared me with lies, I keep your precepts with all my heart. Their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but I delight in your law. It was good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me. Precious there is tof. It's good. It's more good to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Would you pray with me? Lord, this psalmist is in love with your word. Help us to do no less. Help us to get into your word and have it get into us. Lord, I pray that all the cares of this world would be cast aside. And all the focuses of anything else would be turned now to this word so we would hear from you. Lord, use me if you can. Work around me if you must. But speak to our hearts today. We pray it in the good name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen. So, I want to focus on the peculiar perspective of verse 71. Would you look at that? Let's look at the peculiar perspective of verse 71 of Psalm 119. It was good, tov, for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. That's a peculiar statement. If you understand what afflicted means, isn't it? I mean, to be afflicted is to be troubled. It's to be pained. It's to be distressed, ailed, bowed down, humbled, pushed, oppressed. Does anybody here like to be afflicted? If so, you're weird. But the psalmist says, it was good, tov, for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your, that is God's, decrees. Now we're not sure who exactly this psalmist is. It might have been David. Many of the psalms are by David, but they have his name attached to them. This one has no attribution. And we don't know what the psalmist's affliction was. Verses 69 and 70 describe how some arrogant enemies of the psalmist had slandered his name. Perhaps it's likely that's the affliction he's referring to. He had been ganged up on, and people had smeared him. But it doesn't say that in so many words. Perhaps so that we can apply this principle of affliction to lots of different areas in our lives as well. Troubles. Hardships. Adversities, when things are going against us and it hurts, it's hard, so hard. Here's the testimony of this writer. After a time like that, he says, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. Today's message is entitled, Lessons from the School of Affliction. Lessons from the school of affliction. And here's the first point of two. It can be good for us to be afflicted. Now, that may not be what you wanted to hear this morning. At first, that sentence is not very comforting. Nobody wants affliction, and those few that act like it, we call them masochists, are crazy. Affliction is painful and difficult and harmful and grueling. And it's important to note that this verse does not say that the affliction was itself a good thing. It was a bad thing. If it was the slander, slander is a sin, that's not a good thing. It came to this poor guy because the world is fundamentally broken. You know, the Bible is a realistic book. The Bible describes things the way they are, not the way we want them to be. It doesn't paint this painful experience in deceptively rosy terms. The psalmist is not saying it felt good to be afflicted. It didn't even hurt a bit. No. The psalmist is saying that the end result of that painful affliction brought a benefit to him. A tov. It was worth it. In the end, it was good. It was good for me, he says, to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. It can be good for us to be afflicted. Now, I will tell you why I was attracted to this verse for today. And after this worship service, you could probably guess. It seems like 2015 has been a year of affliction for me, health-wise. I'm a little sheepish to say anything about this because I know that many of you have suffered much more than I have. Some of you have had the same things as I. I don't know how many people just this morning said, yeah, diverticulitis, check. I've been there. Some of you, but many of you have had much more difficult health problems. So I'm hesitant to talk about it. But because I'd been relatively healthy for the first 40-some years of my life, these new health battles, one after another, have really set me back on my heels. And they've caused me to think. As I said last week, I want to learn what I'm supposed to learn from these illnesses. From my diverticulitis. It flared up again this week. I'm on 2 antibiotics this morning. Throw your infections at me. I can take them. I'm doubly strong. Not one, but 2. Back in May, I had a perforated colon to go with it. I was worried this week that it had happened again. I missed prayer meeting because I was sick. I totally forgot about an appointment with Jamie Morgan because I was sick. And from my gallbladder attacks. If that's what they were. Still don't have the results. I've had several tests now. Some of them came back quite normal. My last one was a HIDA scan, a nuclear test where they lit up my gallbladder, like the 4th of July, with stuff that has a half-life to it, right? And then they took a video of it in operation. I got to watch. That was kind of cool. That up there is your gallbladder, you know. I hope to find out from that maybe tomorrow and see what else, if anything, was needed. As we said last week, Heather has begun saying, I hate your guts. And I do too right now. I just don't get what's going on there. But I want to learn what I need to learn from this experience of affliction. The other day, after they injected the radioactive stuff, they injected something worse, some chemicals that simulate eating a greasy meal. Okay? Yeah, I see some nods. Yeah, I've had that one. They say, yeah. Oh, that was painful. It's just this stuff oozes into you and then your whole body's like, get it out, get it out. And of course, I hadn't eaten for several hours beforehand or slept for some other reason, so I was just miserable when my test was over. And I'm not feeling 100% yet. I don't say all of that to complain. Again, many of you have suffered much worse, and I know it. I've been by your bedsides. I say this to say that I want that affliction to be good for me. I want my affliction to be good for me. I want to learn the lessons God has for me in the school of affliction. All of us who are Christians can give that testimony too, can't we? I'll bet that every one of you here who's a Christian has a story or 2 or 200 about what God taught you through a painful experience. Am I right? Or am I right? It seems to me that God often teaches more courses in the school of affliction than He does in the school of blessing. C.S. Lewis, in his little book, The Problem of Pain, says that God uses our pain to get our attention. Remember last week? Wake up, Wake up, Lewis says. Pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world. We've all had these experiences. That's why James can say, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Hello, trial. Welcome. Because we all know that it can be good for us to be afflicted if we're willing to learn from it. See, we gotta take the course. We gotta sit under the teacher. We've got to say, okay, I've got this affliction. Now what? Now that does not mean, again, that the suffering is good in and of itself. Hear me, suffering is bad. Suffering is a result of the fall. It's not good. And one day it will end. Remember last summer we talked about restored? When God restores everything to the way it should be and even better? That's where we're headed. But we're still in the middle of the story right now, where often it hurts. This kind of teaching also doesn't mean that suffering stops after we learn our lesson. Sometimes we joke that we want to learn the lesson from the school of pain so that we don't have to repeat the course. But that's not how this school works. Sometimes we learn plenty, and yet the pain persists. But it does mean that God can redeem the pain of any affliction. Remember what we learned back in Romans 8:28? And we know that in all things, including our afflictions, God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. It can be good for us to be afflicted. Now, I find that to be comforting. That God can use the most painful things in our lives for our good, whether they be illnesses or attacks or setbacks or losses. God doesn't waste pain. That's comforting to me. Now, friends, I wouldn't share that truth with someone else who is suffering, not right away. Don't run over to the local hospital today and go up and down the hall saying, "What is God teaching you in your affliction?" That's heartless and insensitive. Don't lead with that. Job's counselors had it right when they just came and sat with him and were silent. That's when they acted like his friends. When they opened their mouth and stuff tumbled out, they got in trouble. We don't lead with this when someone is suffering. But we who are Christians still need to know it. It can be good for us to be afflicted. Here's why. Second half of the verse. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. Point 2 of 2. We can learn God's ways. We can learn God's ways in the school of affliction. That word decrees there in verse 71 can also be translated statutes or inscriptions. It means written down instructions. The 119th Psalm is amazing in how it contains so many different synonyms for the Word of God. The psalmist must have worn out his thesaurus trying to come up with different words to mean basically the same thing, God's Word, inscribed in God's law. And the emphasis in Psalm 119 is not on the promises of God, as amazing as they are, but on God's commandments, God's instructions, God's decrees of how a believer should live. We could say God's ways, God's paths to walk in. When you study at God's school of affliction, you can learn how God operates and how God wants His followers to live their lives. And that, of course, also includes believing His promises. That's one of His commands. Believe me. Trust me, He says. The psalmist says, "It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees." The New Living Translation says it this way, "The suffering you sent was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your principles." Are you getting that out of your sufferings? I'm trying. I'm trying to learn God's ways in the middle of mine. Verse 67 says that the affliction got the psalmist back on the right track. Look at verse 67. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I obey your word." Astray, then obey. Sometimes God sends us affliction to discipline us and get us back on the right track. Sometimes it's 180 degrees. Kind of a slap. Come on. Go the right way. Sometimes it's just a 1 degree course correction. But the painful nudge is what it took. I'm not saying that all suffering is discipline, but that we can learn God's ways from all suffering. Here are some of the things I'm learning, or think I'm learning, from my present affliction. It's not all about me. It's not all about me. My life is not all about me. Do you remember when we studied the book of Genesis together and we learned that God was the main character of the book? It wasn't Abraham, wasn't Isaac, wasn't Jacob, wasn't Joseph. We said, you're not the main character in the story of your life. That's what's been coming to me recently. My life. You know that story of Matt Mitchell? Open the book, turn to whatever page, turn on the movie, watch it. I'm walking through life. It's not about me. I'm not the main character. My life is about God. So in pain or out of pain, what matters is the Lord and living for Him. Am I doing that? And the same is true for ministry. Our Pittsburgh ministry team, as Judy prayed, is not about Pastor Matt. Better not be. They'll do just fine today and tomorrow without me. And if I end up not going tomorrow or Tuesday, as I'm now planning to, they'll do just fine without me then as well. Because it's not about me. It's about the Lord. Here's another thing I'm learning in the school of affliction. God meets you in your waiting. God meets you in your waiting. I've been in a lot of waiting rooms recently. Every doctor's office has a waiting room. Some are more comfortable than others, right? And some have a waiting room, and then you go to another waiting room. How fun is that? And then eventually you get to the room where you're going. And what do there? You wait, right? So I've been trying to learn to wait. I've never been much of a waiter. I'm always pushing. I'm always trying to get the next thing done. I love to be productive. Productivity has become an idol for me at times. So I'm trying to learn patience in this season of my life. The season of my life is not productivity. It's not about getting things done. So I'm trying to learn to enjoy the right here, right now. Look at all the gifts God has given me. Let me enjoy each one in the moment. Not after I lose weight, or after I get the next test done, or after I get the test results, or after I have some surgery, or after I feel better. Often I live for those afters. You know, when that happens, then I'll be happy. When that happens, then I'll be happy. You ever do that? No, I'm alone? Okay. The right now. Living in the moment. And let me give thanks right now so that God meets me in the waiting. I've been in too much of a hurry to get somewhere else when God was right here. Now I say I'm trying to learn those things. I'm not saying I have it down. But I think God is teaching me His ways in the school of affliction. I could tell you other things I'm learning about love for others and about how much I'm loved by God and by His people. What I'm learning about how trustworthy God is and how good God is and how to fight anxiety. Verse 68 says, "You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees." The point I'm trying to make is that in the school of affliction, The curriculum is God's precepts, God's decrees, God's statutes, God's law, God's command, God's word, God's way. And it's good. Tov. Look at verse 72. The law from your mouth is more tov to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. What he's saying is, I'd rather be wise than rich. I'd rather have God's wisdom, know God's ways, than to have riches untold. And one of the best ways to get that is to get enrolled in the school of affliction. Not to enjoy the classes themselves, right? It's not like, oh yeah, give me some more of that pain. No. But to wring out of the pain every bit of the knowledge of God that you can. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. Friends, are you suffering right now? What might God be trying to teach you? Now, it might hurt too much right now to think about that. I'm not trying to add to your pain. But now you're like, oh great, now what do I have to learn from this too? Perhaps you just need to have your hand held and to be told God loves you. You are beloved of God. He is going through this with you right now. You are not alone. He hates evil and suffering, and one day He'll wipe away every tear from your eyes. Maybe that's what you need to hear right now. But when you have a chance and can think about it, think about whether or not there might be deeper lessons for you to learn from that painfulness. Is He trying to wake you up? Have you been going astray and this is a wake-up call? Sometimes it hurts. Make verse 66 your prayer. Teach me knowledge and tov judgment, for I believe in your commands. Pray verse 68, teach me your decrees. Lord, I want to learn from the school of affliction. I want to be able to say when my life is over and the pain is gone, which my pain has been very little in the grand scheme of things. I must say that again. But when my life is over and the pain is gone, I want to be able to sing this verse with the psalmist in the new heavens and the new earth. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your